Today's shir is Masech Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Tezvov. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishkanai, if the Malva took a mashkin from the Loiva and then Umeis, and then the Loiva passed away, Shem to Megaba Bonav. The halacha is that he could take that mashkin from the children. And even though, as we've learned many times in our shiurim, the halacha is that yesoimim that have to pay the debts of a parent, they only pay from karka, from real estate, not from metatlin. Here, since these metatlin were already a mashkin, so that changes the entire halacha, and therefore he could take payment from this, even though it's metatlin. Because, as the Rishonim explain, the halacha is that the mashkin, as we've been discussing, becomes the property of the malvas. Since it becomes the property of the malvas, the malva is not collecting something from the yesoimim where there are limitations on what may or may not be collected from the yesoimim, but rather it's considered a situation where a malva is just taking back what belongs his. And the Ramach says even more than that. The Ramach says that the halacha will be that we'll continue learning, that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva for a mashkin. For this, in this circumstance, he may even enter the home to take the mashkin that belongs to him as payment for the debt. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Amra Meyev Chima Acha Shemashkin. If we take a mashkin from the loiva, loima machzirin, why do we return it? Ask the Gemara, what kind of question is that? Loima machzirin, why do we return it? Says the Gemara, because the Torah says, Rachmanam, the Torah says a hadr that we have to return. Says the Gemara, the question is, Elam Ach Shemachzirin, if we return the mashkin, loima chazir mashkin, what's the point of doing it again and again? Says the Gemara, of taking it and returning it and taking it and returning it. Says the Gemara, Shleitei Shvius Meshamtesai. The halacha is that under normal circumstances, Shvius cancels the loan. But when there's a mashkin, Shvius does not, when there's a mashkin, that the Shvius does not cancel the loan. So that's why we take the mashkin. And the other reason, Layas Matatlan Eitz Lebonov, it should not be considered a situation that the only assets that were left to the Yisoyim were Matatlin, that then the Malva will not be able to collect from Yisoyim the Matlin. And the Rishonim point out that even though the Gemara gave two reasons, the second reason is the primary reason. Because the first reason is only relevant in the Shemitah year. So of course, the time of the Hodah Mashkinah. So what do we see? That the mashkin could be taken because he took it again. Ha loy had the mashkinay. Had he not taken the mashkin, but seems that the Bryce is saying that we left the mashkin at the home of the loiva, and then the loiva would pass away. Loy, we would not be able to collect it. Says the Gemara, Amar of Idi Baramasna, the laf terutzei metatzlei. Haven't we required in the previous Gemara already to redefine this braisa as we did in the previous year? Says the Gemara, Tritzachi, the way to understand the braisa, if we're going to return it. Now the question is, Lama Mashkin Meikara, what's the point of taking the mashkin if you're going to return it all the time? Says the Gemara, the two reasons that we just identified. One is Shleitei Shvius Meshamtesai, that's how we avoid Shvius to take place. And the second, Shvius from canceling the loan. And the second reason, as the Rishash says, the primary reason, Layas Matatlin Etzbanov, that it should not be considered a situation that he only left Matatlin and he wouldn't be able to collect Matatlin from the assignment. So, ask the Rishonim. We understand now why it's necessary to take a mashkin for the given reasons. But the question is, why isn't it adequate to keep on taking it back and forth. Once it was identified as a mashkin, so shvius won't cancel it, and you'll be able to collect it even from the assignment. Why do you have to keep on taking it and giving back and forth? So Taisus, the very Maskal Lama, asked this question, and he says that the purpose of this is that the loiva should not be able to deny that he owes money to the malva. That's one reason, he says. The other reason is that it's obviously quite embarrassing to the loiva that the mashkin's being taken and returned, and that will get him to pay back the loan quicker. Says Taisus adds, actually the reasons that we just explained are the best reasons why the mashkin should be taken back and forth. The reason the Gemara didn't offer these reasons, says Taisus, is because these reasons are sort of obvious. The Gemara wanted to give us halachic reasons about Shemitah, etc. Another reason is that if the malva would leave it, then the loiva can make a claim. The fact that the malva left it with me is proof that he was meichel, that he gave up on this loan. So that's why he keeps on taking it back, to show that he has not given up and he still expects to get paid. We learned in the Mishnah that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva to take the mashkin. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Kisasha b'riyecho masas muma le'sava al-beisai lavar avaytoi. From here we learn, you may not enter his home. If there's a guarantor on the loan, then this doesn't apply to the guarantor. And as we know, when we speak about guarantors in halacha, there's your standard guarantor, which the halacha of a guarantor is that if the loiva does not have the ability to pay back, then you go to the guarantor. And then there is Arav Kablan. The Arav Kablan is a guarantor that if you have a choice, the malva has a choice to go to the loiva or to the Arav Kablan. So the Sefer Truma says that the Al Gemara is telling us that the halachas that we've been learning about a mashkin don't apply by an Arav. That's only by your standard Arav. But when we speak about an Arav Kablan, says the Sefer Trumas, the Arav Kablan is considered equivalent to the loiva, and just like you may not enter the home of the loiva, you may not enter the home of the Arav Kablan. Says the Gemara, from where do we know this? Says the Gemara, Kenu Omer, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, L'koyach begde ki Arav Zor, V'omer, b'ni ima me'araftel re'echa, if you became an Arav for somebody else, you stuck out your hand to take on this obligation. If you hurt somebody, if you became an Arav, then open up your hand. Leiches rapes means open up your hand to pay off the loan that is chayiv. Vim lav, and if you are not a guarantor, but you bothered somebody, and now you need to ask him for mechila, you have to ask him for forgiveness. And if the person who you bothered doesn't want to be meichel you, then the pasuk says habalei avreim, find his friends who should try to convince him to be meichel you. Says the Gemara, another way of explaining the Gemara. But before we go further, here we speak about an Arav, the halacha of a guarantor. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a discussion where there was a situation where somebody owed somebody money, and the malva insisted that there should be an Arav. He insisted there should be a guarantor, which there was. And when it came to pay the loan, the loiva came with post-dated checks. And that's how he wanted to pay off his obligation. And the person who The Malva was dissatisfied with accepting post-dated checks. And he said, if you're not going to pay me this way, if that's the only way you're going to pay me, so it seems that the Chishuki Chemet says that in this case, the Malva is insisting that not only that he should be paid, not with post-dated checks, but he wants to be paid with cash. And when the person didn't, when the loiver didn't have cash and only wanted to pay him this way, he says, okay, this is a situation that I'm going to go to the Ariv. There was a guarantor to this loan, and he says, I'm going to go to the guarantor. And he went to the guarantor, and the question is the guarantor under these circumstances obligated to pay, or can an argument be made that the Malva should accept what the loiver is prepared to pay? And the way I understand what the Chishuki Chemet is saying is that certainly that the person who's willing to pay by check, the Malva who's refusing to accept a check, it's unacceptable. Check is as good as cash. But it seems that he's saying that even post-dated checks should halachically be considered satisfactory. And since they should be considered halachically satisfactory, he has no right to go under those circumstances to the guarantor. Says the Gemara Tzad Sheni. Then the Gemara says a different halacha we're going to learn from this pasuk of Leisova Beisei Lavad Avotai. The Beisei Atah Nichnas, we may not enter the home of the loiva, Avot Atah Nichnas, you may go in to enter the home L'Schar Katif. If somebody was hired to carry something for you, and he didn't pay you, L'Schar Chamor, a donkey driver, L'Schar Punduk, you rented a room in a hotel, L'Schar Duknois, that somebody bought from you paintings or painted in your home, and you didn't pay him. In all these cases, the halacha is the worker has a right to go in to get his pay. However, there's a machlokes rishonim, how far does this halacha go? Because as we learned, and as we're learning, there are really two halachas when we speak about a mashkin. One halacha that applies when we speak about a mashkin is that if you're allowed to enter the home to take the mashkin. And here we're learning that you may enter the home to take the mashkin. But then there's another halacha that we discuss when we speak about mashkin. The other halacha that we learn when we speak about a mashkin is the halacha of if you're taking something that he needs and returning it. That halacha. And that is a question, does that halacha also not apply by workers? Or that halacha even applies by workers? As I said, it's a machlokes rishonim. The opinion of the Rana and the Rama is that you may enter the home to take the mashkin, but if you take these things that he needs, you have to return them. The opinion of the Bala Trumas is that all of the halachas that we've been discussing regarding mashkin do not apply by these workers. Yochal fil zakhin alav malva. But now says the Gemara, you owe a worker money for services rendered, and it was transferred into being a malva, into a loan, then the halacha, what is the halacha then? Is the halacha that he could collect it, or that has halacha ava, or this halacha that we're saying that the halacha of entering the home doesn't apply by these individuals? Talmud Lomar says, the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, kisash beracha mashus mu'uma, as soon as it was turned into a loan, the halacha is that all the halachas of a loan take place. We've learned that you're not allowed into the malva is not allowed to go into the home of the loiva to take a mashkin, but as we also learned, a shliach bezdin can be appointed to take that loan. Says the Mishnah, there are other halachas that are also applied. Amana, when we speak about an individual who's an amana, ben sheni, ben sheyashira, irrespective if she's wealthy or poor, eim a mashkin aysab, we don't take a mashkin from her, shenemar, because the Torah Kedosha says, leisachko beged amana. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings three opinions. the Kiv Hege says that the opinion of the Sma, that this halacha does not only apply by Almana, the same halacha is by a Grusha. Because he explains, why did the Torah single out the Almana? Because she is in a bad place, and she's on her own. And therefore the same halacha would apply by a Grusha. The Shach's opinion is that this halacha only applies by Almana, because Almana is particularly distressed because she lost her husband, not the same by anyone else. And the Tumim explains, it's our obligation to follow what it says in the Torah. And the Torah speaks about Almana, so says the Tumim in explaining the opinion of the Shach, the Torah speaks about Almana, so the halacha is only by Almana, not anyone else. The Taz takes the most extreme approach the other way. And he says not only an Almana and a Grusha, but Psula, any single woman is vulnerable. And since any single woman is vulnerable, this halacha will apply. Taisus brings two pshatim. One pshat that Taisus says is that a Shliach Bezdin is not allowed to go into the home. And now we're learning that, but Shmuel says outside the home you may take. It says the Gemara now that this halacha by Almana, even outside the home, may not approach. The other approach is that Shmuel's coming to teach us that not only by Rechaim Verechem, so we have here Machloikis, when are we being Machmer by Almana? The first approach of Tosfos quotes is only by Rechaim Verechem, items that she needs to live with. The second approach in Tosfos is that this special halacha that was saying by Almana is not limited by to Rechaim Verechem. The halacha applies to anything that belongs to an Almana. And Rabbi Kiveger paskens like the second approach of Tosfos, that nothing, that you may not take any type of mashkin from the Almana. We also have another machlekes Rishonim. From when we've begun learning the sugya, we've differentiated between a mashkin that's taken b'shas halva at the time of the loan versus a mashkin, which we said is the primary subject of this perek, that's taken shaloi b'shas halva. The Rishonim debate, now that the Gemara has introduced that there are special chumris that apply to Almana, when was that halacha said? Was that halacha said only regarding mashkin that's taken shloi b'shas halvah, which is the subject of this perek, or is it even said by mashkin b'shas halvah? Because the special rule that we have v'amona is that even applies to mashkin that's taken b'shas halvah. The opinion of the Rambam is that when we have the special rules that we're speaking about almana, applies any mashkin to any mashkin taken from almana, whether it's shloi b'shas halvah or b'shas halvah. The Ran and Rosh disagree with the Rambam, and they say that the subject of the mashkin that's being discussed in this parak is a mashkin shloi b'shas halvah, not taken at the time of the loan. And that will also be the halacha explained, they explain, regarding the din of the almana. Tarabon, almana, the Braisa teaches us, almana ben she'ani ben she'ashira, whether she's wealthy or poor, ema mashkin, so we may not take a mashkin from her, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon Omer, ashira ema mashkin, so if she's wealthy, we could take a mashkin from her, ania ema mashkin, so. But from a poor almana, we may not take. Shatochayv lachsila, because if you're going to take a mashkin from an almana who's poor, what's going to happen is you're going to always have to return the mashkin, and that will create that you'll be going back and forth into a home. Vatamasir shem rabishkin esaha, she will have a bad reputation because you're going to be constantly going to the house. So the Tumim asks, so what will be the halacha if the money is owed from one woman to another woman? If the concern is because a man is constantly entering and exiting the home of the almana, So that's only if it's a man. Woe be the halacha by a woman that this concern doesn't apply. So the Chachmas Menayach says that once there's a halacha, we know there's a rule of there's loiplug. Moreover, as we've mentioned and we've learned, there's another consideration here. And the other consideration here is that we need to be concerned about the Shliach Beis Din. And typically, the Shliach Beis Din was a man. And even though technically Beis Din can appoint a Shliach Beis Din who's a woman, that usually wasn't the case. Says the Gemara, based on the explanation that the Gemara just offered, Lememer Yehuda Loi Darsh Tam Dekra, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't explain the reason for a mitzvah. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah says Almana. It means any Almana. And Rav Shimon Darsh Tam Dekra, and he says that why did the Torah say this halacha by Almana? Because we're worried about a reputation. And therefore, that's only a concern by a Aniya that you're going to go back and forth. By a wealthy person who that concern won't be there, this doesn't apply. But ask the Gemara, we've learned just the opposite regarding do we explain the reasoning for a pasuk or not. So Tosfos in Masechta Gittin explains that everybody agrees that when there's no nafka mina lahalocha in giving an explanation for what the Torah says, we of course explain the tam ha-mitzvahs. The issue here is that where there is explanation, does that explanation have, we certainly should give an explanation. The question is, once we already have an explanation, does that have a nafka mina lalocha? As the Tumim says, there's no one that's going to suggest that a mitzvah doesn't have a reason. Every mitzvah has a reason. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say things without a reason. The issue that we're discussing here is how to view the reason as far as halachic ramifications. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says, the Torah Gdosha says regarding a Melech Yisrael, v'lo yir b'lo noshin v'lo yosu levavoy, a king may not have more than 18 wives. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, marbahu, that you may have even more than 18 wives, ovad, as long as those wives won't turn him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shimon Omer, afil achas, one wife, v'masiris libay, and causes him to turn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, harezo l'yusena, he may not marry her. Imke matam loimer, m'layar b'lay nashim. So what does the Torah mean by saying layar b'lay nashim? That filu, if he has a wife, like Avigail, who was the wife of David HaMelech, who was a tremendous tzaddikus, and she was in the Via, you're not allowed to have more than 18 wives. So we see from here that Rav Shimon doesn't explain the pasuk, and therefore he says if the Torah says you may not have more than 18, you may not have more than 18 under any circumstances. Rav Yehuda is starting to explain that the only reason is if they're going to turn you away from Hashem. If they're not going to turn you away from Hashem, there is no limitation. So how do we reconcile? Answers the Gemara Lo Amar Yehuda Lo Darsh Tam Dekra. Rav Yehuda doesn't explain, say, and just like by the Mashkin, he doesn't differentiate between a wealthy or poor Amana, so too will be here. Shani Hocha, but there it's different, because the Pasuk itself, Mefarish Kro, the Pasuk itself gives an explanation, because the Torah says, Lo Yar B'Lay Nashim, Lo Yosu Levavoy, says the Gemara, the Torah itself is explaining, My Tam Lo Yar B'Lay Nashim, Shem De Lo Yosu. Rav Shimon says that the way to understand that pasuk, michti, ba'almadashin tam dekra, the Torah, we always explain the pasukim on our own. So if that's the case, it should have been adequate, the lichta rechmona lo yar b'lo nashim, and we would understand on our own that it means because we're concerned they're going to turn him away from Hashem. V'lo be'inan, and therefore, it's not necessary for the Torah to say lo yosu levavoy. But now Yadana will understand by itself the my tam lo yarba. Why may not he have too many wives? Shem de lo yosu. So now the question is, says Rav Shimon, lo yosu de kas rachman alamali. Why was it necessary for the Torah to say lo yosu? It's understood that that's the consideration anyway. afilu to teach afilu achsam seriously by to teach us that even if you have one wife, even though she's a tremendous tzadekistop, hareza lo yisena, you may not marry her. Hachayvul surchay. So the Torah says leyachbol ruchayim v'rechev. Ruchayim v'rechev were the two parts that were used to grind wheat. There's the ruchayim, which is the part on the bottom, and there's the rechev, which is the part on the top, which is what's moved, to put the flour on top of the bottom part, and like that, you grind it. The Torah says, Hachoivlas Rechayim, so somebody takes this, Oiv Mishim Lois Asay. And if you were warned about both parts of the mill, Chayim Mishim Shnei Kalim, Shenemar, Yachbo Rechayim Verechev, both of them. The Sefer Trumas says that the halacha that we're speaking about here, when we speak about a Rechayim V'rechev, is speaking about a portable mill. But a non-portable mill, says the Sefer Trumas, you can never take. Because as we learned and we're going to learn, you can never take a keli, which is essential to the owner of that keli, that he needs it all the time. So when we speak about the mill is something that he needs. But even though the mill is something that he needs, he could take it when he's not using it. But when we speak about something which is portable, when we speak about something which is not movable, that can't be taken because it's not possible to take it and return it. Says the Mishnah further, V'loi rechaim b'vechav b'vad el kol dovish oysu ba'eichel nefesh, shenem ke nefesh u'choyvel, that you may not take. Tosfos says that oichel nefesh, a keli which is used for oichel nefesh, may not be taken. But food itself may be taken. Because the halacha says Tosfos, the Sma explains Tosfos, is that the halacha is that food, you have to leave him food that's adequate supply for 30 days. But once you leave him an adequate supply of 30 days, you don't have to do any more. Amrav Huna, Chavo Rechaim, if you took just the bottom part, Loikishtaim, you get two malchus. You get a malchus for Loich Baruchayim, and there's another malchus, Kishum, the Nefesh Kulchoivel. That's a general Isser to take any Keli that, as we just learned, is Oichel Nefesh that the Mloiva needs for food preparation. If he took Rechayim Virechev, if he took both parts of the mill, Loikisholish, then there'll be three malchus. There's going to be one Mishim Rechayim. There's going to be one for Rechev, and one Kinef Shuchayvel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chavu Rechayim Loka Achas, Rechev Loka Achas, Rechayim Rechev Loka Shtayim. Kinef Shuchayvel, and you don't get Malchus for Nef Shuchayvel, because L'sharot V'Masam. The Pasuk is coming to teach us that if you take other things that are necessary for the Loiva, you'll also get Malchus. But Rechayim v'Rechev were already discussed with the first part of the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, Lema, perhaps a Baivarov, a Beplukta, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Kamefki. They're arguing about a Machloikus, the same Machloikus that Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda disagree. The Torah says regarding the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach must be eaten roasted. It may not be eaten nor. Nor means when it's not completely roasted. Nor may it be eaten mavushal, when it's boiled in water. As the Torah Gedosha says, V'achlas abasu b'layla azeh, tzli eish, u'matzis amrorim yechlua, atachum emenu no, uvushal mavushal mamayim, ki im tzli eish, roishay al kro v'al kirbay. Damarova, ochel no, if you ate the Korban Pesach in the no fashion, loikishtayim, you get two malchus. Mishum no, u'mishum tzli eish. Mavushal, if you eat the Korban Pesach boiled, Loikishtayim, Mishum Altachum Menano, Uvashim Avushal Bamayim, and become the lav of Tzli Eish. Nor, if you ate part of the Korban Pesach, Nor, and you ate part of the Korban Pesach Mavushal, Loikishtayolish, you'll get three malchus. One for Nor, one for Mavushal, and one for Loikishtayolish, Kiyim Tzli Eish. Abai Omer, but Abai's opinion is, ain't Loikin Alav Shabaklolos. The lav of Kiyim Tzli Eish, which has in it more than one Isser. The Lav Tzli Eish has speaks about any type of preparation besides being roasted. So since it speaks about many different types, you don't get malchus. The reason for this is because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Pesachim, we learned in Masechta Pesachim, we're going to learn in Masechta Malchus. The Torah Kedosha, the Pasuk in the Torah, which is the model from where we learn the halachas of Malchus, is the Lav Loisachshim Shor B'Dishai. The Pasuk Loisachshim Shor B'Dishai, a halacha that we learned in our Masechta quite extensively, speaks about one specific Lav. The Lav of muzzling an animal while it's working on the field. So from here we learn that the model, given that the model for Malchus is Loisachshim, only when the Pasuk, when the Lav refers to one specific situation, then is there Malchus. But when it refers to many different situations, there is no Malchus. So of course the Rishonim ask a question. The Gemara just gave a reason that what Lema Abaye Dom Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Abaye that says you don't get Malchus Lav Shabbat Kalalus, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he says here you won't get a Lav for Kalef Shuchayvil, and Rava Karaf Huna. So ask the Rishonim, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says where you don't get Malchus is because he said the Pasuk of Nefesh Kuchayvil was needed for other situations. So how can we compare the two situations? So the Rishonim give a very interesting approach to this Gemara. They say, even though we many times have in the Gemara an explanation, and then the Gemara asks a question which is clearly inconsistent with the explanation that the Gemara gave, that's because the Gemara wasn't necessarily said in the proper order. And the back and forth that we're having now is before the Gemara established that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is because L'shar Dvar Mu'asa. So the Gemara at the beginning says, the Gemara at the beginning assumed that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get Malchus for Nefesh Kuchayvel is because it's a Lav Shebechlolus. And that, the Gemara says, turns out that Abaya is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda and Rava is not. Says the, and that was before the Gemara established that there's a different reason for Rabbi Yehuda. Amalach Rava, to which Rava says, I'm not Amik of Kfilik Rabbi Yehuda. My position could even be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. Because at Kalan come Rabbi Yehuda Hasam, Elam Shenef Shulchayvil, when the Tars say Nef Shulchayvil, Loi Mashma Rechaim Varekav. It doesn't, can't be learned from that Rechaim Varekav. Tilkach, the other types of Kalim cannot be learned from Rechaim Rechev, and therefore we need the pasuk in Nefesh Chayvel l'shar dvar ma'asa. Avol hocha, once the Torah told us atarchem mena norma vushel kiim tzliyesh l'mayasa. Why was it necessary for the Torah to say that pasuk? Shema mina, it's coming to teach us an extra lav, but that's only over there, has nothing to do with our Gemara. But by Allah, ano adam el filo Rav Huna, and the Baya says my position can be even consistent with Rav Huna. At Kanlo Kam Rav Huna Hasam, where did Rav Huna say Ki Nefesh Uchayvel? When we speak about Nefesh Uchayvel, the Yisera, it's extra because Yisera who? It's not because as far as the halacha of Rechaim V'Rechav are concerned, everything we need to learn, we already learn from the words of Rechaim V'Rechav. The Kivin Yisera, Shadya Rechaim V'Rechav. We say that's come to teach us an extra lav on Rechaim V'Rechav. Aval Hocha, Kiyim Tzlei Eish, Lav Yisayru. He suggests that the words Kiyim Tzlei Eish are not superfluous. The Nebai Leir Chetanya, they're necessary to teach us that when is there an Isser of Ka'al Tarchum Menano of Oshim and Oshim of Mayim Kiyim Tzlei Eish, B'shosh Sheishna Bekum Echot Tzli. On the night of Pesach, when we're supposed to eat a Kzayis of roasted Karm Pesach, at that time, there's a lav about toichel no. B'shosh en eichel mitzli. If you're going to eat the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, where there's no mitzvah to eat roasted Karban Pesach, if you're going to eat Karban Pesach that is no umavushel, at that time, you wouldn't get Malchus. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. Nothing to do that you get an extra lav for eating it no umavushel.